morning. Such a nice weekend we've had. Warmer weather. I hope everyone's enjoying that. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we gather here today, open our minds and our hearts so that we may hear your word and follow your will, so that we can spread your love and your kingdom to every corner of the world. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning. As you make your way back to your seats, I want to offer a warm welcome to all present this morning. And I do want to especially welcome any visitors. Do we have any visitors today? I'm looking out and I'm trying to say, we do have a visitor. If you would like some information, you can raise your hand a little higher and our ushers can bring you a packet of information for the church. Or if you so desire, we have information immediately out the double doors in the narthex hanging on the shepherd's crook. Welcome. A reminder to all in attendance this morning, please sign the registration page in the red folder that's located at the end of the pew. Please sign that and pass it back after all in the pew have signed it as well. Pass it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, you'll find 3x5 index cards in those red holders. So if you do have a prayer request, use the 3x5 card. Put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Chris this morning. Our memory verse for January is located on the front page of your bulletin, the top center. Please recite it twice through with me now. John 14:19. Because I live, you also will live. John 14:19. Because I live, you also will live. I will highlight a few announcements and upcoming events, but first, Diane Runser has a few announcements.
I'm looking for a man. I mean, I have Fritz, but I'm looking for a man. He doesn't know what he just volunteered for. What I need, I'm still in need of one disciple for the Living Last Supper. So if you are a gentleman who might be brave enough to join that brotherhood, we are very fortunate. This is our 12th year of doing it. Hard to believe. But a good portion of the actors are still the original actors. But we need new blood. I do need one to fill in this year. So if you are someone or you know someone whom I can contact for that, would you please come up and let me know? You don't need to volunteer right away. You can come up and ask questions, and then I'll twist your arm. No, I didn't say that. Also, for the Living Last Supper, as the back pages on our clipboard, we need people to assist in ironing and washing the costumes. That has to be done by Ash Wednesday. Cheryl is going to be our costume chairperson, so you can sign the list that is here on the clipboard, or you can see Cheryl or see me, and we'll make sure that you get a costume. There's also, finally, on the back of the clipboard, a list of other things, other volunteers that we need for the Living Last Supper. We need help with the reception, which is on the Tuesday night, March 27th. We need someone to sit out in the narthex with the DVDs that we have available. We need someone to serve as ushers, and we need greeters. So if you're able to do any of those things for either of those nights, please sign. The front page of the clipboard is for the monthly coffee hours. We still have some spots to fill in, mostly for the fall. But if you're able to sign up for a month to help Penny and Peggy out, we would appreciate that very much. There's also a spot where you can make stuff for those coffee hours, not necessarily being there to serve. Now, coming up is our talent show. And that's going to be next Sunday, and it is at Oops, I got the wrong sheet. 6 o'clock p.m. And we need people who have some kind of a talent. Now, we know that the people who have signed up to make cookies have a talent, and they're bringing the fruits of their talent. But if you have another talent, maybe you play spoons, maybe you tap dance, maybe you paint and can show us how to do that. Whatever your talent is, if you would sign up and let us know that you're able to perform, or talk, or tell jokes, or whatever, please sign up for that. And also, since we're Methodists, we're eating afterwards, so we need cookies. And there's another sign up for that. So a lot of opportunities for you to serve your church this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
And there is coffee hour afterwards.
Diane said that just as a reminder, there is coffee hour today as scheduled, so please plan on stopping in for some refreshments and fellowship. Just two quick announcements, one announcement and then something a little longer. Just a reminder, the Charge Conference and Church Council meeting is this Tuesday, January 23rd at 7 p.m., and it's a meeting for all church members, also especially those in the leadership positions. That means the chairs of any of our committees, but also, more importantly, it's just all are invited to attend. The District Superintendent, Pat Nelson, will be running that meeting. So that's this Tuesday, January 23rd at 7 p.m. And now I have a message from our Finance Committee, and specifically it's a letter to the church. So I'm going to read a message from the Finance Committee. Good morning, church family. You may be aware that First United Methodist Church continues to show a deficit in our expected contribution to connectional apportionment. The Finance Committee recently met, and we may have found a solution to our problem. We have put forth a plan that will now be known as the $2 campaign. We are challenging our members to contribute $2 a week, that is above their current giving. And one way to look at how you can contribute additional monies is to look at it, as they say, equal to what you might spend for a cup of coffee or soft drink at a restaurant. For example, Finance Committee member Alan Painter and his wife Cindy tried it on their recent trip to King's Restaurant. They ordered water instead of a soft drink, each saving $2.29. They used this as a simple example of how easy it can be to gift an extra $2 a week for meeting our connectional apportionment. The Finance Committee believes this campaign will be very painless and quite easy, and it is a way we can solve our annual deficit. All you need to do is be creative with your $2 a week commitment above your regular giving. The weekly offering envelope will soon have a designated item line for your gift for the $2 campaign. To monitor our progress, you can check the financial report in the monthly newsletter or see the connectional apportionment thermometer posted in the narthex. Church family, we are connected together, and we are going to meet our connectional apportionment giving in 2018 with this $2 campaign. Thank you, and blessings to you, the Finance Committee. So I can suggest, if you have any particular questions on this campaign that the Finance Committee is going to start, certainly please see a member of Finance. And saying that, I would like to remind you to please check your church bulletin for other announcements and meetings in the life of our church. I now ask that you turn your hearts and minds to our worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cathedral Bells. Please stand now for the call to worship, printed in your bulletin. Please recite your response to my prompt. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest."
We long for our souls to rest in the peace which Jesus gives us.
Jesus also said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light."
As we come to worship, let us cast our burdens on the Savior and find that He bears our burdens and lightens our load.
Jesus invites us to come. It is our joy to say yes to His invitation. Please remain standing and turn to number 261 in your red hymnal.
How are you all this morning?
Good.
Who loves you?
Jesus
loves you, and so do I. So, what do you guys like to do at home? Play with a puppy. Read. Play with toys. We kind of have lots of things that we like to do when we're at home, don't we? All kind of like important things to us, right? Play games, maybe talk with friends. Have a good time, right? Now, when Mom and Dad ask us to do something, do we jump up right away and say, "Yeah, Mom, you got it," and go and do it? No. Well, sometimes we make excuses, don't we? You know, I'm in the middle of reading this. Let me finish this paragraph. Or, wait till the commercial. Or, wait, give me 10 more minutes playing, right? Mom and Dad say, go to bed. Oh, I'm not tired yet. I'll go to bed in a little bit. Right? We do that. But you know what? You guys aren't alone. Because as adults, we do that a lot too. So, do you think that that's what we want to do when Jesus calls us to do something? When Jesus calls us to do something, how do you think we should react? We should say yes, and we should jump right to it, right? No excuses, no bargains, nothing. We should jump right to it, right? What if I told you that Jesus has called you to do something and you asked for more time? Or you said, wait, hold on, I'm busy. You know, Jesus calls us in big things and little things. And he's not always going to call us on big things. He's not always going to call you to sacrifice your life to save someone else's. But he'll call you to listen to your parents. He'll call you to smile or help a friend at school. He'll call you to little things each and every day. But sometimes we have excuses for not doing them. So we got to try our best, don't we, to listen for all of those little things that Jesus calls us to do. And be just like the disciples and jump right into it without a second thought, without question, and just do it. Don't we? So, part of that would be following your parents. Part of that might be helping your friends. It might just be saying hi to someone or giving them a smile. Because each time you do that, you affect that person, and that person has a chance to affect someone else, all in a good way, right? Just think about it. If you don't do what your parents want, what happens? They get upset with you, right? So we put them in a bad mood, right? And the next person they come into contact with, they might get a bad mood from them, right? So even those little things, you know, take out the garbage, it's time to go to bed. All those little things are things that Jesus is calling for us to do. So we got to listen and follow. Okay, everyone, put your hands in and let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you open our ears and our minds and our hearts so that we can hear when you call us and so that we can react properly, without a doubt, without hesitation, and follow you in what you are asking us to do. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God a vision to see what God can do. Missionaries, every one of us, we're on a mission of
love. Thank you, Sunshiners. The word of God this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and then finishing with verse 10, talking about the conversion of Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it to the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he cried, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. May the Lord add his blessings to these words from Jonah. I would now ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by
holy call. In Luke chapter 10, verse 12, it states, "And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'"
Lord, we bring these gifts to you, a small token of our appreciation for all that you do for us, and also a recognition that you give us more than we need, more than we want. Lord, use these gifts to further your ministries and your kingdom. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we have any joys that we wish to share, or things that we're joyous about?
Indoor plumbing,
sunshine and warm temperatures, most definitely. It's kind of nice to be able to be outside for longer than 5 minutes without feeling like an icicle. The music, most definitely. Good hymns, and Missy did such a wonderful job with her solo. Joys for comforting ministry coming from here. For successful surgery for Nellie's son, Rob. Any other joys? For our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Are there any concerns that anyone wishes to share? I do have two. One, we want to keep the Swope family in our prayers. And Don Burritt handed me this, that John Sr. was taken to the ER this morning for fever and coughing and stomach pain. They're testing, so we want to keep him in our prayers also. For Willie, are there any other concerns? For our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather here today to worship and praise your holy name, for only you are worthy of such worship and praise. As we come, we lift up things that hang heavy on us, things that concern us, things that trouble us. We lift them up to you, knowing that you will handle our needs. We also bring with us things that lift our hearts and make us joyous and that we want to celebrate with you and thank you for. We also bring with us many things that we don't share or don't voice. But Lord, we know and trust that you will take care of all of our needs and all of our cares. We pray for those that we have lifted up in this service. We pray for those that take care of us, the emergency responders, our soldiers, our politicians. Guide them. Fill them with your spirit, with your knowledge and your wisdom, so that they can serve well. Protect them, be with them, and nurture them along the way. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. I would ask all those able to please stand. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So in today's gospel reading, this calling Simon, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. In the scripture, Simon and James follow without a second thought. They leave everything they had and everything they were behind. Simon and Andrew were fishermen. Fishing was how they lived. Fishing brought in the necessary money to buy food, to repair nets, to fix the boats, and maybe allow them to feed their family and some others in the village. Fishing allowed them to live and to survive. It was probably one of the most important things in their world to them. Moving on, we encountered James and John. They're with their father mending nets. Apparently, there was a lot of work to do, as there were a bunch of hired men doing the same thing along with them. But family was important in those days, just as it is today. Along comes a man that is unfamiliar to them, and this man says to them, "Come, follow me." And they leave their father behind, and they leave the work behind. Not once do they make any excuses or try to bargain for time. James and John just get up and leave their father. What does it take to follow Jesus? This can seem confusing at times. One of the Ten Commandments says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." This places family in a high place of importance, doesn't it? And yet James and John just walk away from their father and what we can assume their father has asked them to do. During Jesus' ministry, he is asked about paying taxes, and he lets us know that it is our responsibility to give the government what is due to them and to follow them. And yet Simon and Andrew just be left behind their means of making money. It seems as if these four men, leaving things behind in order to follow Jesus, contradicts what they should be doing. How are we to interpret this story? How are we to use it to bring ourselves closer in our relationship with Jesus? Well, daily, Jesus calls us to follow him. He calls us in many things. Some are big, and some are very small. But in all things, he calls us to follow his way. Some things may be safe and comfortable, and others may be risky and dangerous. Some things may reaffirm our thoughts and our beliefs, and some may challenge those very thoughts and beliefs. Yet in all things, he calls us to follow. Sometimes we make it very hard on ourselves to follow Jesus. We have many reasons that we often use for not following. We believe that these reasons are justified or even backed up by things that we hold to be true, and maybe even by our own religious texts, like the Bible itself. The Bible says, "Honor thy father and mother." So, I'm sorry, I can't take the time to stop and help you today because my family wants me to do something else. Or, you can't expect me to help you or share Christ with you or be nice to anyone since, well, my relative's sick or my relative just passed away. And they come first. I can't stop on the side of the road to help that person that's broken down or that needs a ride because, well, it could be really, really dangerous. I could die. And if I die, how am I going to help anyone? We all have many valid reasons not to answer the call. But how do we reconcile these issues? How do we learn to follow the call of Jesus when everything we are tells us not to follow? How do we help ourselves to act more like the disciples and follow Jesus without a second thought? In the Ten Commandments, there is a hierarchy to the rules. And number one on the list is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That means nothing. Nothing comes before God. Not money, not family, not work, not our own shelter or our own well-being. Nothing comes before God. This refers not only to the named gods like Zeus, or Apollo, or Ra, or Seth, but to our possessions and our abstract concepts. There is nothing before God. Jesus teaches about serving two masters. He says that you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. Once again, this is establishing that there is nothing above God. When he asked someone to follow him in one of the stories, and they respond that they need time to bury a family member, he tells them, "Forget about it and just follow. follow me now. In order to be better at following Jesus, we will have to be willing to put Jesus first in anything and to have nothing above him. Not money, not family, not possessions, not rulers, not politics, not ourselves, not anything. We must be willing to sacrifice everything when we are called to follow. But why should we want to sacrifice everything to follow? We should desire to sacrifice everything because God promises us eternal life in a place where there is no pain and suffering, where peace abounds, where milk and honey flow, and where sorrow is not found. He promises us that we shall never have want or need. He promises us life by his side, wrapped in his comforting love. He promises us more than all of us put together could ever imagine. Think about it. God has so much more than we can ever have or ever want, and he wants to share it with all of us. All he asks is that we just give up what so little we know and hold dear. Last night in the alternative service, Lara had picked a song that just really kind of spoke to me a little bit more towards what he wants us to know here. And the song was called Spirit of God by Meredith Andrews. And the chorus in it is just really amazing. And let me pull it up here real quick for you. The chorus goes like this. Because when you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us. It changes what we see and what we seek. And the song itself was talking about our relationship to God, and when he speaks and when he does what only he can do, it changes us and how we see things. But this is a little bit of a trickle-down theory. It also applies to us. When we speak and when we move and when we do what only we can do, we affect others and change what they seek. It's kind of like throwing the pebble into the pond. It may just be a smile. It may be picking up a stranger and giving them a ride. It may be being called to empty out your bank account for ministry. But in everything, daily, God is calling us to do things, and oftentimes we say no. But we have to remember that we are that little pebble, because when we speak and when we move and when we do what only we can do, we affect ourselves and we affect others, and that ripple from that little pebble just fills that whole pond. And that's what we need to be like, and that's what it's like when you don't hesitate, and when you don't falter, and when you don't question, why do you want me to do this now? I've got so much other things that I've got on my plate. I've got to do that. Can we do this when it's more convenient? No, when you go and you jump feet first, like James and John and Simon and Andrew, without question, without fail, just get up and follow. These little changes happen, and those ripples just go further and further and further. And soon we find that the kingdom of God gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that more people are affected. As I mentioned during the children's service, just think about it. That smile as you pass someone on the street, or the holding of the door for someone walking into a store, it affects their attitude. They could have been in a bad mood that day, and just that one little thing changes their day. So the next person that they come into contact with, now instead of grumbling and complaining, they're more apt to be nice. Maybe it's the cashier in the store. Maybe the cashier makes a mistake. And instead of, oh, wow, you know, you're just the most awful cashier in the world, they're like, hey, man, I understand. You know, no problem. We got it all straightened out. You know, I appreciate you being honest or what have you. It changes outlooks of everyone. But it also changes you, too, because when you walk away, you have that good feeling and you want to spread it even further and further. You want to keep throwing those pebbles in. And, you know, most of the time, daily, it is those pebbles that were called by Jesus to throw when he says, come follow me. Every once in a while, it might be that big rock that he wants us to throw in. But in any of those, every day he is calling us. He is calling us to do what only we can do. It's not what you can do. It's not what I can do. It's not what she can do. It's what only you can do because you're in that place at that time that Jesus calls you and says, come, follow me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask for your guidance and your encouragement and your strength as we do our best to follow and listen for your each and every call in our daily lives. Lord, sometimes we stumble, but we know that you're there to pick us up and to help correct us and move us along in the right path. Just give us the wisdom to follow you and to listen to your guidance. And when Jesus calls us, encourage us so that we may answer without a doubt, so that we can do what only we can do. Amen. I want to remind everyone that there is coffee hour afterwards in the parlor. So if you have the time, please join us briefly. Enjoy some good food and some good drinks. I'd also like to ask you to remember that as you go about your day, about your week, and about the rest of your lives, constantly listen for the call, that daily call from Jesus, each and every day. Each and every hour, in everything that you do, and remember that only you can do what you can do. So answer that call, because he's counting on you in that moment.
not someone else. He asked you. Amen.